This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salawatullahi wa salamu ala nabihi al-kareem, alayhi afdalu salatu wa atamu taslim. Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yasirli amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So today we are live streaming earlier, as I mentioned, and hopefully, you know, people remember. If not, it's okay. The recordings will all be uploaded live to wherever, you know, people log into. So that'll be there, inshallah. The reason why we're starting early today is because we do have another live virtual iftar with our local MP, Member of Parliament, Adam Van Couverden, as well as Minister Ahmed Hussein. And we also have Councillor Zeeshan Hamid and Councillor Samira Ali that will be joining us as well. So the four of them in the political, you know, sphere, and myself from the Islamic sphere, which also, you know, I mean, there are Muslims as well that are on there. So alhamdulillah, that's going to take place. The poster and link, I think I put it up on Facebook and Instagram. If you want, I'll put it up there right after this as well, for those that want to attend that. It is something you need to register for. It's a government thing, but you could attend it as well, inshallah, and that's something that's available to you. Today we're going to be covering the 24th juz of the Quran, because it is the 24th night of Ramadan tonight, inshallah ta'ala. And I was hoping that, you know, more people would be on earlier, and I guess this is good. You know, we're testing it out to see, you know, some people have been asking, can we have the live sessions an hour earlier than we start? So technically 2 hours before Maghrib. But I personally don't feel that that's the greatest time, because I think most people are not online. And most people are, you know, busy with things and doing other things around their home, and they're not really, you know, available to come online. But regardless, we are here, alhamdulillah, and today's a sort of test for that, to see how the timing goes. Also on the 27th night, I will be live streaming. I'm debating on maybe changing the timing for the 27th night, but we'll see about that, simply because we're going to be live streaming in the masjid as well. And I will have a live stream running from my Facebook account at the same time, so about an hour before Maghrib. So I don't want there to be any sort of clash, and I have, you know, I've always tried not to double book myself, and inshallah, hopefully there won't be any double bookings that go on. Okay, so we'll keep it nice and short and sweet today. We'll try to wrap up by 7 o'clock. That gives me some time to prepare for the next session at 7:30. And we're going to be starting, like we said, the 24th juz. We'll jump right to verse number 49. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us verse number 49 of Surah Az-Zumar. So tonight we're covering Surah Az-Zumar until the end. So verse number 32 until the end of the surah, Surah Ghafir and Surah Fussilat. Okay, Surah Ghafir and Fussilat entirely. And verse number 32 from Surah Az-Zumar until the end of the surah, inshallah. It's been a long day. I just came back from doing some recordings. I've been recording pretty much the whole day since I got up this morning, so it's been long. And still have this session and another session afterwards, and then I'm done for the night. And then it's, you know, Isha and Taraweeh with the family. So it's long, but that's Ramadan. We're supposed to get tired. We're supposed to be busy in busy with ibadah, in worship. And it's a good thing to be busy in ibadah throughout the month of Ramadan, because if we weren't, then I think we would wish that we were, we probably would feel that we're wasting our month, right? Wasting our time. Khalas. Verse number 49. Going through hardships is a blessing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that going through hardships is a blessing, and that people change for the better. But again, only those who reflect. So in verse number 49 of Surah Az-Zumar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when one is touched with hardship, they cry out to us alone. So when someone is going through hardship and difficulty, they cry out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when we shower our blessings upon them, they say, I have been granted all this only because of my knowledge. Not at all. it is no more than a test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, not at all. It is no more than a test. It's not from you, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But most of them do not know, right? Most of them do not know. Hopefully you're not catching my yawns. I just realized it says Sheikh Hudayfa Khan. Oh, that's interesting. That's still from last night. Let's just go, bam, there we go, right? Change the caption. Allah musta'an. No one even mentioned that. Oh, Hasib just mentioned it. Your name is written as Sheikh Hudayfa Khan. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallahu khairan for letting us know. So yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is showing us that when, you know, we go through certain hardships, we usually reach out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then when ease and comforts come our way, we forget Allah. We go and we think that it's myself, I'm doing this, I'm the one who's achieved this. But in reality, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's granted it to us. So that's a lesson that we get there from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know what is really interesting? I was just with Sheikh Ala, Sheikh Muslih, and Sheikh Ibrahim Hindi, and we were recording a session together, which was nice to spend some time together. Of course, we were social distancing, so the four of us were about 6 feet apart from each other. But some of the examples that you hear, and it's nice to be able to interact with other imams without the distraction of community members. Not to say that, you know, we need to have that or it's something that, is an elite thing. Not at all. My point there is that we were sharing experiences and things that we've gone through and things that we've, you know, learned throughout this month of Ramadan. And one of the most beautiful things is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested us in the past with hardship. Every single Ramadan, we say, you know what, this Ramadan is better than last year's. Or every year we say, this Ramadan is the best Ramadan ever. But this year, every single one of us has experienced the fact that we've had some time to do personal ibadah on our own. And no doubt we're more busy than ever, right? We're more busy than ever. But it's a different kind of busy. And then when the busy settles and you want to just dedicate some time in the evening, alhamdulillah, you're actually able to do that. Like, you don't need to rush off. You don't need to quickly, you know, just swallow your food without even chewing it and then make your way quickly to the masjid because you need to be in the front row. And then you have to fight and argue with people who are taking up your parking spot because they just don't understand, you know, the importance of having you there. Without the imam there, the salah doesn't go on, the programs don't go on. So you need to get in, but we're all human beings, right? And so the hardships that we face in the past, we realize that there are different hardships that we're going through right now. But as much as these hardships are different than those, they are a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How well are we going to worship Allah? How well are we going to worship Allah? Maybe I should right? Wake myself up a little bit. It's just very warm in here. The sun is shining in. I'm liking it. I'm feeling like I just need to get cozy in bed and go to sleep, but we can't. So these hardships are tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How well are we going to get through them? And are we going to recognize that this is from our Lord, from our Creator? Or are we just going to brush it off and say, you know what, alhamdulillah, I'm able to do this and I'm getting through it and it was all myself. No, it wasn't ourselves. The fact that we get alone time in the evenings or at nights, I should say, during this month of Ramadan is a blessing from Allah, and we need to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it, right? We need to be very thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having the time to do this on our own, you know, ibadah on our own, and spending some time, just reflecting and contemplating over ourselves and our lives, and maybe even some of the changes, some of the life changes that we want to implement ourselves, right? You notice that you see what I'm doing with my eye? If we were in Hajj, we would not be allowed to do this, right? In Hajj, you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to just pull out some hairs or whatever. You got to be very calm. So Ramadan teaches us certain kinds of patience, and Hajj teaches us other kinds of patience. And, you know, everything that we go through, these hardships and challenges are, a way for us to gain nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and learn how to be patient with the situation and the things that we are going through in life. In verse number 68 and 69, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us what will happen at the end of time, the beginning of the Day of Judgment, and before that, the ending of this world. So Allah says, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ the trumpet will be blown, and all those in the heavens and all those on earth will fall dead, except those Allah wills, right? From amongst the angels, those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given commands to carry out certain things. Then it will be blown again, and they will rise up at once, looking on in anticipation. Okay? Then Allah said, so first of all, the trumpet will be blown, and then it will be blown again. The earth will shine with the light of its Lord. The record of deeds will be laid open. The prophets and the witnesses will be brought forward, and judgment will be passed on all with fairness. None will be wronged. So the end of time will be, the trumpet will be blown, and then the beginning of the day of judgment, the trumpet will be blown once again. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all will die. Everything will fall dead except those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. Illa man sha Allah. And so this is a question that some people talk about. Will everything actually die? Will everything actually end? Will everything actually, halt? Except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, right? And that's a discussion I was having with my wife just a few days ago when we were talking about angels. But that's not a topic we're going to get into today, because we could talk about angels for hours and hours and hours and days and days and days. And we need to move to Surah Ghafir. At the beginning of Surah Ghafir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Hameem. Tanzeelul Kitab min Allahil Azizil Alim. غافر الذنب وقابل التوب شديد العقاب ذي الطول لا إله إلا هو إليه المصير. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this surah showing us the importance of forgiveness and how He forgives. He says, حميم تنزيل الكتاب من الله العزيز العليم. The revelation of this book is from Allah, the Almighty, the Knowing. He then says, غَافِرِ الذَّنْبِ وَقَابِلِ التَّوْبِ شَدِيدِ الْعِقَابِ ذِي الطَّوْلِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ. He says, the forgiver of sin. So He is the Almighty, the All-Knowing, the forgiver of sin, and acceptor of repentance, the severe in punishment, and infinite in bounty. Look at all of these descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? He is Al-Aziz, Al-Alim, Ghafir al-Dhamb, Qabil al-Tawb, Shadid al-Iqab, Zit Tawl, right? There is no God worthy of worship except Him. To Him alone is the final return. So we will all return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, this explanation of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is important, because it allows us to recognize who our Creator is. So He says He's the Almighty, the All-Knowing. Allah being the Almighty means that nothing is out of His capacity. He is able to do all and everything. So this pandemic, like this, Allah can remove it, right? Allah cannot allow it to leave and to be removed immediately without even, without going through any sort of effort. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being Almighty and has the power and the might and ability to do anything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He is all-knowing. So He knows what we're going through. He knows what we are suffering with. He knows what our struggles are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that goes on. And not only what's going on, but what we conceal within us. Sometimes people will hide their sins, so they will keep it within them. And that's fine. We're supposed to do that. We're supposed to hide our sins. We're not supposed to expose our sins and bring them out, right? But we feel ashamed. So the person will go and hide themselves while committing the sin as well. So hiding the sin and hiding and concealing it within us, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. And remember with Dhun-Nun, who is Dhun-Nun? The person of the whale. Who is that? Prophet Yunus alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us there, it's not an example of a sin that He's concealing. He's showing us that Allah hears even through layers of confinement. So in the middle of the night, at the bottom of the sea, in the belly of the whale, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of what the servant needs. So as much as Allah knows our sins, Allah knows what we need. People are going through hardship. A mother might be suffering. A wife might be suffering. A husband might be suffering. Children might be suffering. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before the people even reach out for help, Allah knows it and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears it. And this is why we believe that the help that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not help that comes from human beings. It is help that comes from Allah through those human beings, right? And so Allah is our creator, our sustainer, our provider. He is almighty and he is all-knowing. He is the forgiver of sin and the acceptor of repentance. Repent to Allah, my brothers and sisters. This is the time, right? Seek forgiveness from the sins that we've committed. And this beautiful dua, Allahumma innaka afuun, tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna, right? Or tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni, for me specifically. Sheikh Ala was just telling us right now, he's like, look at how blessed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and how beautiful his forgiveness is, not just maghfirah, because that comes from, you know, ghafir. It is basically just covering it up, right? Sort of like the sin is there, but it's been forgiven, right? But it's known that it's been forgiven. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-afu, and he pardons. Pardoning is like it's gone. It's completely, it's removed, it's gone, right? It's completely gone. It's non-existent. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make dua to Allah throughout these last 10 days and nights of Ramadan. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Or if you want to make dua for everyone else, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. That includes you and everyone else, right? All of us. It's like saying all of us. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, shadeed al-iqab. He is severe in punishment, right? We can't forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is severe in punishment. We can't just think that Allah is all peace and lovely and so on. No, he is, and he wants that and he prefers that. But for those who choose to disobey and those who choose to go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is shadeed al-iqab, dhittawl. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinite in bounty. Okay, infinite in bounty. There is no God worthy of worship except him. To him alone is the final return. People may reject that. But at the end of the day, at the end of time, we will all return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who rejected Allah will truly see that they made a serious, serious mistake. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon every single one of us. Ameen. Let's move on. Let's go to verse number 14. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to worship Allah alone, even if the circumstances are hard. And look at what he says. He says, فَدْعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so call upon Allah with sincere devotion, even to the dismay of the disbelievers. Even if the disbelievers are not happy with it, doesn't matter, right? Worship Allah and call out to Allah. Those who say, ah, why are you doing this? You're wasting your time. I'll give you an example. Someone might find that their relative is in the hospital and they're sick, okay? And you come over and you make dua for them. And one of the family members might be there and says, ah, what are you doing? You know, this is nonsense asking God. God wouldn't give you anything good. Look at how he put you in this situation. Such a terrible situation for you to be in. God gave you this. And you're calling out to God? That's what people say, right? That's what people say. I work as a chaplain as well in the hospital, and people say that sometimes. Sometimes family members tell me, you know, wait until that person leaves because they hate Islam. They were born and raised Muslim, but they hate Islam. And I say, no, there's no point in waiting until they leave. We can talk to them nicely. If it's going to create a family issue, fine, we let it go. We wait until that person is gone, and then we come in. And sometimes it's the patient themselves. They will request, just wait, and they ask everyone to leave, just leave the room. And then they'll ask me, you know what, can you recite some Quran for me? I had this happen. A sister was there with her whole family, her husband and children. And she was in the hospital, and she, you know, has had a terminal illness. And she knew she was going to pass away. And her family was mad with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She told me this herself. She says her family was mad with Allah. They're upset with Allah that Allah made this happen to her. And so she asked them to leave, and then she started telling me this. And I was like, so, you know, you asked them to leave. Has it been hard? You've been arguing, you know, with each other. She says, no, I just don't want them to say anything bad about Allah. I'd prefer to get them out of here so that they don't say anything bad about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then now you can recite Quran, you know, and that's all she wanted. All she wanted was for me to sit by the side of her bed and recite some Quran for like 15, 20 minutes. And I recited until she said, Jazakum Allahu khairan. You know, that's enough now. Alhamdulillah, I truly appreciate it. And so sometimes we see people will call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And their family members will get upset with them. And it is what it is, right? It is what it is. We can't, you know, change that situation. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us all and to open our hearts to Him. But those who choose to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they've made their choice and they've made their decision. And we can't interfere more than what we are able to do, which is just to remind. So we remind and we leave the rest to Allah Azza wa Jal. Even if the disbelievers don't like it. So like I was saying, you know, even if the circumstances are hard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Even if the non-believers don't like it, you worship Allah, continue to do it, right? As long as you are not harming someone in the process, okay, you're not harming anyone. It's time to pray, you go off to the side somewhere, you pray your salah, you're not disturbing anybody, you're not praying in the passageways, you're not praying in the walkway, in the street, in the sidewalks or anything. You're minding your own business, you're on your own, you're doing your own thing. Alhamdulillah, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If people don't like it, people don't like it. There's nothing you can do. You make dua for them. You make dua for their guidance. And you'll notice, subhanAllah, there are really good people out there. I was just, you know, talking to Sheikh Ibrahim Hindi, and he was sharing an example. We were talking about sadaqah and good deeds, and he was sharing a beautiful example. He said, you know, there was a day 2 years ago, he was driving to go and to perform a nikah, which is a wedding, okay, Islamic wedding ceremony. And as he was going on the way, he was on the highway 401 in Toronto. Those of you know, highway 401 is busy and big. And he had a flat tire. So he pulled to the side. Now he's standing on the side of the highway, which is extremely busy and extremely dangerous. He gets out of his car. He goes to see if he could use his spare tire to put on the car. His spare tire is flat as well. So he can't use that. So now he's standing on the side of the road. He's trying to contact his wife. He has a wedding hall filled with people and two people that are waiting to get married to each other, but he's not able to actually perform the wedding yet. So he's on his way there trying to get this done. And he's stuck on the side of the highway. And he says he did not expect anyone to stop because he was dressed in a thobe. He was wearing a hat on his head. So, you know, he looked culturally out of place, right? Because he's not wearing the Canadian cultural clothing, which technically in Canada, we don't really have Canadian cultural clothing. We're so multicultural. Alhamdulillah, that's the beauty of living in Canada. You know, he said, I didn't expect anyone to stop on the side of the road. But this man stopped. And he asked him, you know, what's going on? He says, look, my, you know, my tire is flat. And on top of that, my spare tire is flat. I have no air in it. So the man said, no problem. Let's see if my spare tire fits on your car. So he got out his spare tire and he put it on Sheikh Ibrahim's car and it fit. And so he changed the tire for Sheikh Ibrahim. And then he let him go on his way. He's like, go ahead, hurry up, go, you know, because there's people waiting to get married. So Sheikh Ibrahim took his number in order to return the tire to him afterwards, the wheel. And he said, look, it's such a, you know, it stuck with him. It stuck with him so much. I remember reading his Facebook post about it 2 years ago. He said it stuck with him. This was a non-Muslim who stopped for someone who was dressed clearly, you know, as a Muslim, standing on the side of the road in need of help. And this man stopped and helped him. So there are really good people out there, my brothers and sisters. We just need to open up our, you know, our minds, open up our, you know, our own well-being. To communicate with others and tell them about who we are as Muslims. And they will understand. And they will understand. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do the rest, right? To guide our hearts to what is true. Ameen. Verse number 18. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, 18, 19, and 20, you know, warn them, O Prophet, of the approaching day when the hearts will jump into the throats. People will be so scared. You know, when you're driving a car and you're not paying attention, like you're, okay, sorry, let me rephrase that. You're driving the car and you have passengers in the back seat, like your children, okay? And you're driving down like a country road. It's a hill, it goes up and then it comes down. And you feel that feeling in your stomach, right? You remember that as a child when you feel that feeling from the back seat of the car, you're sitting there and your mom or dad is driving and you go over a hill and you're like, oh, what's that feeling in my stomach, right? it's a feeling of like slight fear. It's like going over a roller coaster, very high and then vroom, coming down, or turbulence in an airplane, right? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us here, you know, warn them of the approaching day when the hearts will jump into their throats, suppressing distress. Like they'll feel so scared and panicking, like you feel your heartbeat in your throat, like the wrongdoers will have neither a close friend nor intercessor to be heard. Allah knows the sly glances of the eyes and whatever the hearts conceal. So Allah warns about the day that we will stand before Him and how our it'll feel like our hearts are in our throats, and you know, how what we conceal within us is not a secret to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, what we conceal within us is not a secret to Allah Azza wa Jal. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who do the best of deeds and who contribute towards helping society and whose sins are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then in verse number 60, and we all know this very well, verse number 60 of Surah Ghafir, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ, your Lord has proclaimed, أُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, call upon me and I will respond to you. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ أُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, and your Lord proclaimed, call upon me, I will answer you. You know, my brothers and sisters, we tend to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until things go really, really bad, right? And then we're like, oh man, I should have asked Allah, right? I should have turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first because He can make something happen. And we know that things do happen through the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, call upon me, I will surely respond to you, right? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, surely those who are too proud to worship me will enter hell fully humbled, right? They will enter knowing I did what was wrong and it is what it is, right? And so those of us who call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we call upon Him and He will answer. And those who are too proud to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, too arrogant, who refuse to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, those are the people who will enter into Jahannam. So if we feel, you know what, Allah, what's He going to do? You know, we deal with this all the time. People come to us and like, nonsense. You know, what's Allah going to do for you? You know, look at me, look at what I've done. Allah tells me interest is haram and I've managed to, alhamdulillah, buy a house with interest. Well, what's wrong with it? Now my family has a place to live and I have a car to drive. And I have investments and so on and so forth. People say that, right? They're like, alhamdulillah, I have everything now. People say, when we believe in Allah, life is difficult. And when we leave Allah, life becomes easy. Is this life meant to be easy? And even though it seems easy, is it really easy? Like, you still have to pay the same bills that other people have to pay. You still have to go through the challenges that people have to go through in life. You're still going to deal with illness and hardship and lack of wealth and, you know, loss of family and fear and being scared. You're still going to go through it. So wouldn't you want to have Allah on your side when you're going through all those hardships? Or would you rather just be on your own and be like, oh, look, I've done this myself? And those are really the truly arrogant people, subhanAllah. You know, this morning I was dealing with something that came up and I reached out to another colleague of mine, another imam. I reached out to him and said, look, this is happening. Can you give me some advice on this? How do you deal with this stuff? And he says, just ignore it. Just ignore it. Like, if someone is going to be the way that they are, just ignore it. Right? Allah tells us in the Quran that He's the one who guides the hearts. We can't guide people's hearts. Just leave it. Make dua for them. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them. And leave it at that. If they open and blatantly reject Allah, what are you going to do about it? Like, it is what it is. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help and protect every single one of us. We know that our families are being tested. We know that our children are being tested. We know that our siblings are being tested. We know our parents are being tested. We know our cousins and uncles and aunts and relatives and friends and family and neighbors, they're all being tested. We are being tested as well. None of us knows if we are going to live our lives and die upon Iman and Islam as well. Right? None of us knows that. So we need to be cautious. We need to be careful. We need to be understanding. And we ask Allah to open our hearts to His deen. Ameen. All right, let's move on. وقال ربكم ادعوني استجب لكم. To spend the whole day just reciting the Quran without having anything else to do, and all your bills will be taken care of. That would be beautiful. Alhamdulillah. All right, let's move to Surah Fussilat, another surah that starts with Hamim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins, Hamim tanzeelun min ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And then he goes on in verse number 6 to say, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. Say, O Prophet, I am only a man like you. So Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, I am only a man like you. Like, I am a human being as well. But it has been revealed to me that your God is only one God. So take the straight path towards him. And seek his forgiveness. And woe to the polytheists. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us, you know, to call upon him in the previous verses. And then he says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Say to the people, I am a human like you. And this is a message not only for the prophets and the messengers, it is also a message for every single one of us as human beings. People say, Islam is too hard. We tell them, but we are humans as well, and we're going through it, and it doesn't feel that hard, right? It doesn't feel that hard, and we're able to do it, so alhamdulillah. Sister Saima, you're asking, did we change the time? Only for today, okay? Only for today, because I have another online session to go to at 7:30 with Minister Ahmed Hussein and Member of Parliament for our town, Adam Van Couverden, as well as two of our local councillors, Councillor Samira and Councillor Zishan. So for today, we change the time so that we can accommodate the other session as well. They invited me to speak at the end of that, which is why I need to be online for that. And it's an official thing, so I want to give it the full amount of time. I don't want to just log in at the end. I want to give it the full amount of time. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and seek his forgiveness, and woe to the polytheists, as in the mushrikun, those who do not pay alms, as in those who do not pay their zakah, لَا يُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ كَافِرُونَ, and are in denial of the hereafter. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. But those who believe and do good will certainly have a never-ending reward. So my brothers and sisters, when you ask yourself, what is the blessing or what are the benefits of sadaqah or doing good deeds? I mean, Allah says it clearly. Those who believe and do good deeds will certainly have a never-ending reward. And so the little sacrifice that we make of this dunya, the reward in the hereafter will be great. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with that. Ameen. Let's go to verse number 25 to 29, okay, of Surah Fussilat. Verse number 25 to 29. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, we placed at their disposal evil associates, who made their past and future misdeeds appealing to them. So the fate of earlier communities of jinn and humans has been justified against them as well, for they were truly losers. So disbelieving friends make sins seem attractive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, the disbelievers advised one another, do not listen to this Quran, but drown it out so that you may prevail. So they call us away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They call us away from obedience by inviting us to do other things, inviting us to do things that are displeasing to Allah, inviting us to things that are haram. And I touched upon this yesterday briefly, and I wanted to bring it up today as well. You know, so friends who disobey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those who will invite us towards things that we know is clearly haram, bad for us and bad for society, like the drinking of alcohol or the consumption of intoxicants, drugs, right? Things like cigarettes that harms our health, right? It harms our health. How many family members need to look after others who lived their lives, you know, drinking and doing things or consuming things, smoking and so on, damaging their health. And then afterwards, people have to look after them, right? We should try our best to look after ourselves. And so, you know, other things like encouraging us to consume things that will harm our health, like cigarettes, or, you know, the whole boyfriend-girlfriend mentality, or, you know, taking interest and cheating and gambling and stuff like that. These are things that we need to be careful of and not have friends that are going to call us towards the fire, call us towards things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with. In verse number 30 to 32, surely those who say, our Lord is Allah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ نُزُلًا مِّنْ غَفُورٍ رَّحِيمٍ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِّمَّنْ دَعَا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وقال إنني من المسلمين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives good news for those who believe. He says, surely those who say, our Lord is Allah. الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ. Our Lord is Allah. And then remain steadfast. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the angels descend upon them, saying, do not fear. أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ They say, do not fear, do not grieve. Rather, rejoice at the good news of paradise, which you have been promised. أَلَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُعَدُونَ Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we are your supporters in the worldly life and in the hereafter. Okay, so he says, we are your supporters. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ There you will have whatever your souls desire. And there you will have whatever you ask for. So whatever your souls desire will come to you. Whatever you ask for will come to you. And it'll always be things of goodness. Alhamdulillah. What a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, نُزُلًا مِّنْ غَفُورٍ رَّحِيمٍ An accommodation from the all-forgiving, most merciful Allah Azza wa Jal. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا And whose words are better than someone who calls others to Allah? Does good deeds and says, I am truly one of those who submit. Like this, these verses are so powerful. SubhanAllah. I remember our teachers explaining these verses to us, and it's just like, khalas, what more can you want? In fact, Sheikh Ala was talking about this earlier. He wasn't quoting these ayat, but this is basically the gist of what he was telling us. He was saying, when we were talking about what makes you happy? He says, just doing this work, doing what we do. You know, the fact that we're doing what we do, alhamdulillah, this makes us happy. Why? وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ And whose words are better than those who calls to Allah? There's nothing better that you can say except the invitation of others to Allah. So invite others to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, and you do good deeds, you follow it up with good deeds. وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and you openly declare, or you declare that you are from the Muslims. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. I haven't yawned this much in a live session ever. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing us here, my brothers and sisters, you know, a beautiful aspect of the Quran and the life of the believer. Inna alladhina qalu, surely those who say, Rabbuna Allah, those who say, my Lord is Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Now when you declare that your Lord is Allah, رَبُّنَ Allah, people will hate you, people will go against you, people will oppose you, people will question you, people will support you, people will not support you, people will give you a hard time. So when you say that you believe in Allah, especially when you're making a bold statement, someone who comes from a non-Muslim family, who turns to Allah and says, Rabbun Allah, Rabbi Allah, my Lord is Allah. Immediately everyone's like, oh man, what is this? Like, you're worshiping Allah, this is dangerous, be careful, don't join that group, don't be with those people, right? Allah is showing us, what do they need? Istiqamah. And he says that right after. He says, those who say, رَبُّنَ Allah, he says, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, and they are steadfast in that, because it's going to be hard. It's going to be a test. It's going to be challenging. You will be different. You will be recognized as being someone who does something differently than the norm of the society that you live in, if you're living in a, you know, balad aqalliyat, in a country where there are less Muslims. But that's okay. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Why? تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. The angels descend upon them. So my brothers, my sisters in particular, sometimes sisters say, you know, I want to be more practicing. I want to dress more modest, but I'm scared. I'm scared to make that choice. I'm scared to do that because it's going to be hard for me. You know, sometimes brothers, they're scared to go for Jum'ah. You know, Jum'ah is compulsory for the men. And they're scared to ask their employer, I want to go for Jum'ah, because they're like, oh, I'm going to be judged as a Muslim. Those who say, my Lord is Allah, I need to go. Right? This is what I have to do. I need to worship Allah. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, and they submit to it, and they're patient with it, and they just give it all. Right? They give it all. Whatever comes to them, they take it. It's hard. It's okay. We'll get through it. Allah will allow us to get through it. Allah says, تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. The angels descend upon them. You are in the safety and protection of the angels. Don't worry. Declare yourself as a believer. Take that bold stance. Stand strong. Not to worry. Allah shows us the angels will be protecting you. أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. And the angels will declare, they'll proclaim, they will say, do not fear, do not grieve, do not fear, do not grieve. Don't worry, don't worry. Everything will be fine. أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا and وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ and glad tidings, good news, rejoice, be happy. The sacrifices you make, you will get paradise. It's going to be hard. Alhamdulillah, don't worry, the angels will protect you. You'll get through this. You'll get through it. It'll be fine. But Allah will give you Jannah in the end. Through the protection of the angels, don't worry, you will still get Jannah. So you're not just getting the protection of the angels, you're also getting the reward in the end. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. That Jannah is the garden that we were paradised, that we were promised anyways. Allah promised us Jannah. He promised that He would give that to us. And so we need to be patient with it. I love this ayah. These ayats are so powerful. He then says, نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاءُكُمْ. Look, those of us who do this and go through this hardship, who are our friends? Who become our supporters? Right? Who are they? The angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are your supporters in this worldly life and in the hereafter. The angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There you will have whatever your souls desire. And there you will have whatever you ask, an accommodation from the forgiving, the all-forgiving, most merciful, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my brothers and sisters, I'm pretty sure Sheikh Omar Suleiman through Yaqeen Institute is probably, I don't know if he hasn't already, they probably already have an episode on this that's coming out, if it already hasn't, because I've watched most of them, but I think I've missed the last two or three days. You know, this is absolutely important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, blesses us in this life with so much bounties that we can't even comprehend. And that's all that we're going to take for today, inshallah ta'ala. We continue with Surah Fussilat tomorrow, from verse number 46, verse number 46 of Surah Al-Fussilat onwards. Remember, I will post the link in my Instagram and Facebook for the iftar tonight. We're having a virtual iftar with Minister Ahmed Hussein and that's my alarm telling me it's 7 o'clock, get ready. So we're having a virtual iftar with Councillor Zeeshan Hamid and Samira Ali, as well as with Adam, Member of Parliament Adam Van Couverden, and with Minister Ahmed Hussein. So please do join us at 7:30, inshallah ta'ala. I'll post the poster there in the link. I think I already did it, but I'll just go and double check. Jazakumullahu khairan. We'll see all of you tomorrow at the same time, as in tomorrow will be 1 hour before iftar once again, okay? The regular time, 1 hour before iftar. So technically around 7:40 tomorrow night, we will resume. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.